One way to look at the book of Acts is it's a story. And if you look at it that way, you'll have a lot easier time wading through it. At times you just think, what does that mean? Or how did that happen? Or is that today? And we'll go for all those things. But first we better pray and ask the Lord to be our teacher. Father, I'm just grateful for answered prayer. And you are a wonderful God that looks out for each of us, that you have a specific road for each of us. Lord, I'm thankful that the walk isn't, we don't duplicate each other, that it's individual, it's a relationship with you. And what a sweet relationship that is. Lord, I'm so grateful that you would pluck me out of this world and call me to yourself. What a gift that is. Help me to treasure it always. Now, Lord, we look to you to be our teacher because this is your word, and you put it down through the Holy Spirit and Luke, and we don't understand it unless your Holy Spirit teaches us. So be our teacher, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I looked at this starting of this chapter, and I thought, how am I going to treat this? And I thought, well, what would I say today? If Theophilus was my friend, I would say, dear Theophilus, I wanted to continue my story to you because so much has happened. The gospel was long, but I'm sure you found it informative and challenging. I noticed you dropped your title. Now, a lot of you may not have picked that up when you're doing the study, because the first time I went through it, I didn't pick it up that he had a title. But if you were in England and you were meeting the Queen, I don't think you would call her Liz. There's certain protocol that you would have to go by to curtsy and all that other stuff, and you would definitely call her Queen. So if we here in the United States don't have titles, well, maybe your kids do, but nicknames, perhaps. So it was a Greek title because he's Greek, most excellent. How does that sound? But it's dropped here in the book of Acts. And so I would ask him, was it because you were mostly around Christians and found it unnecessary? Or maybe I was thinking to myself, being a child of God is more important than being most excellent. In fact, when you know the Lord, you really don't feel very excellent. At least it took me a while to realize that I was a sinner saved by a wonderful Savior. So that's how I would do it. And then I would ask him, do you remember what happened to John and Peter? A couple of my leaders had totally forgotten. That was last year. That was about 4 months ago, or less. Remember when they went to the tomb? John ran in and he saw the grave clothes, and I went to a lot of trouble to blow up a big balloon and wrap it all up in sheeting. So I showed you how I took the air out. And that's what John saw. He saw a deflated kind of mummy. And he knew that Jesus couldn't be held by the grave claws, that he went right through them. Now, Peter saw the same thing, but he couldn't put it together. Now, there probably is a big reason for that. And he had a bit of guilt. Called denying the Lord 3 times. Now, I know I didn't give you the verses for that, and that wasn't nice of me. I was much better in our second lesson giving you verses, because it's not fair to those who weren't here last year. But I wanted to connect the Gospel of Luke with Acts, because it really, the two tie together. That's why I went in that direction. It he had denied the Lord three times, even when Jesus had told him he was going to deny the Lord, and he still went and did it. Sounds like me. Maybe the Lord would disown him. Maybe the Lord would tell Peter, I can't use you anymore. You can't even be a disciple. You can't even be an apostle. And maybe Jesus would be really angry. So, what would you have done? I can just see it now with my kids. Oh, dear. I wish I could do my kids over again.
I told you so. I told you you'd do it.
I can just see it. Go to your room for a month. Shame on you. You don't love me. You weren't obedient. But look at how beautiful this is. Jesus met Peter in private. And if you were here last year, you got one of these handouts. And where does it say Peter met the Lord in private? It says Luke 24:34 is one of the meetings. And it looks like everything drains out of our brains over the summer, I think. So I apologize to you new folks. It's usually not this hard. But we've got to read carefully, and we need to put it together. That's the big thing. But we've got to know that Jesus is always restorative. He doesn't go around with a baseball bat waiting to club you because you've forgotten something or you didn't do something right. He's loving, he's drawing. And how sweet of the Lord to take Peter aside and talk to him about what he had done. He really needed the Lord's touch to tell him that he was okay, that he'd make a great apostle, and that he needed to start being obedient. I wish I had been more of a mother like that. I did let my kids out. They're all married now, so I did let them out of their rooms, finally. All six of them. Oh, dear. But I've had women tell me that they simply can't believe that the Lord would forgive them because they've slept around, or they've had more than one abortion, or they've been bar hopping, and so on. And they just feel that the Lord can't forgive them. I'm sure he would tell each of us, go and sin no more, and that's where we would begin. I'm sure Peter also was told that. His blood is all-powerful to forgive us of anything. And for myself, I had to go way back when I was 2 and a half, and I was disobedient and to my parents, and I ate ant poison. And so I took the Lord all the way back to that, and I said, I remember that, sort of. Anyway, I had to take the Lord all through my life to ask him to forgive me for this and that. I was really a rotten, rotten junior higher. Oh, mercy. So, but Jesus' blood is all-powerful. Don't say that he can't forgive you for something. You have to remember that Moses murdered a man, and yet he was God's man bringing his people out of Egypt. You have to remember that David stole Bathsheba, another man's wife, got her pregnant, and then killed off her husband. So he was a murderer and adulterer, and yet well used of God. Probably the one person in Scripture I can't stand, and I probably because I identify with him so well, is Jacob. He was really a scoundrel, and yet he's formed the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you believe that? You know, what does God use? He uses broken people. He uses sinners, and heaven's going to be wonderful. We'll be able to talk about what God has done for each of us. Well, if you're stewing around with a burden on your back, don't do that. If you have an if only that keeps plaguing you and you wish you hadn't done something, take it to the Lord and ask Him to not only forgive you, but to take away the memory of it. That is beautiful, to have God take away the memory of it. And you shouldn't, your shoulders were never meant to carry burdens. And it's so easy to do it, isn't it? We just pile it on and pretty soon we're all, you know, down and out. But get rid of that burden. And you don't have to tell a soul, just talk to the Lord. It's between you and Him anyway. And I love Thomas. I'll probably be like Thomas too. Well, Big Mouth Peter, and then Thomas, who questioned everything. I would have been just the same. Everybody had seen him. I mean, it was this huge list of people had seen him. No, Thomas says, unless I put my hand in his side and if I put my fingers in the holes, I won't believe. I was about that way when somebody dragged me to Bible study. I don't need this. Oh, I did desperately. So I can identify with Thomas also. It's kind of fun to read about him. And as soon as the Lord appeared to them in that upper room, he was flat on his face before God. Isn't that beautiful? I think one day we'll be able to worship him in person. It'll be so beautiful. I love the story of the road to Emmaus, and there's a principle there that we should pick up on. Is I love these two guys going, I think they were men, going down the road thinking about what it, all had happened, and this third person comes alongside them and says, what are you thinking about? You know, what's up? Where have you been? Don't you know what's been happening in Jerusalem? Da, 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 da. And of course, it's all about Jesus. But the principle that we need to pick up there is the fact that until God opens our eyes, we don't see. And that's true on our lessons. That's why you should ask the Lord, help. These lessons are crazy. No, these lessons are difficult. Help, I need answers. So these two fellas, they're all the way down that road, and they stop to eat, and there's something about the way he breaks the bread. Don't you wish you could see that?
Yeah.
We probably will soon. And their eyes are opened, and they realize it's the Lord, and he was gone. Now, please don't put a question in the question box, where'd he go? Because I don't know. So what did the guys do? They went back to fishing. Isn't that interesting? Something familiar. Probably the rest of us would have done that too. What do you do now? Well, he told them to go to the upper room and wait. So eventually they do that after they stand there watching him go back to heaven. Now, I think I would have still stood there. It says in verse 11, the two fellows in white, probably obviously angels, says, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. See, now I would have still been waiting. Okay, I'll wait here. It's such an interesting thought, because if you've been to the Holy Land, there's actually a spot on the top of that little mountain, and you can go inside this little room, and they've got a rock with a footprint in it. You think that's the Lord? No. But you'd be surprised what they sell as souvenirs over in the Holy Land. I don't know, but every time I think about that, that just strikes me funny. That's Jesus' footprint. Well, I wonder what size it is. Yeah. No, sandals, I think. So where they found it, I don't know. Anyway, that's getting off the track here. And then they're told to go to the upper room, and you have a list of the disciples' names there. But the Holy Spirit had been promised. And we got lots of verses on that. In fact, I looked up a few because I'm sure there's probably somebody like me that has to have proof for everything. And so Acts 1:4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded," this is Jesus, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And of course, their biggest question is, when are they going to restore Israel? So, but that's the promise here in Acts. And do we have other promises? Yes, John 1:33. I tried to get a few of these. Some of them are promises to Israel, and some of them are promises to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which will be next week's lesson. 1:33 is John the Baptist is talking. He says, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So that would be John the Baptist. And then we have John 14:16, where he promises the coming of the Holy Spirit. The reason I'm giving you these, because if you're like me, you have to have proof. And I like proof, and that's why I get into the Word so much. 14:16, "And I will pray to the Father," this again is Jesus speaking, "and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Forever. Think of that. The Spirit of truth. Do you know truth is at a very in great shortage today? And the only truth that you really have is the Word of God that you can count on. Because man has no clue. They're like Pilate. What is truth? And they don't stick around to find out. Joel 2:26 is, of course, the future promise for Israel. But it's the same type of thing. It's Pentecost is a down payment for the church. But there's a coming a day when God will pour out his Spirit upon his people. And that would be Joel 2:26. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also my men servants and on my maid servants," and so on and so on. And this is happening in Indonesia where there's great darkness. Men are having dreams about the Lord. And of course, Indonesia is a Muslim country. And it's interesting, even with those dreams, sometimes they don't want to find out about the Lord. But, okay, I have a couple others. Ezekiel 39:29 and Isaiah 54:13. Oh, I love this one. "All your children shall be taught by the Lord." Has that happened yet for Israel? No. "Great shall be the peace of your children." Such a beautiful promise. Well, that's future for Israel, Ezekiel especially, and Joel 26. That's all having to do with the nation of Israel. Someday they're going to come alive. And that 144,000 will finish what the church hasn't done. Well, what can you do without the Spirit of God? Nothing for him. You can do a lot of hay, wood, and stubble, and hay, wood, and stubble is great because it builds homes. But one thing it can't handle is fire. So there's a lot of churches today that aren't dependent on the Holy Spirit, aren't praying for the Holy Spirit, aren't asking God on their faces for direction. And we've got to do that because the church belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to us. And you need to have the Holy Spirit directing you. And we never get tired of that. You can do nothing without me, but you can teach Sunday school. You could be a pastor. You know, there's some mothers that have encouraged their kids to go to school to become a pastor, and yet they know nothing of the Holy Spirit. And it's a shame, because they can do some good, but nothing for eternity for themselves. Sad, sad thing. The lesson 3C. Without me, you can do nothing. That's really a serious thought. And of course, the next thing they wanted to know is, when is he going to restore the nation of Israel? That's the kingdom of Israel. Verse 6, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And as I was driving around yesterday, I thought, what if he had told them it's going to be over 2,000 years? They wouldn't have understood. But isn't it wonderful? It includes us. We get to be a part of it. And so one day he will restore the kingdom. But they sure didn't understand the church, did they? Because it really wasn't revealed very well in the Old Testament. And the church's time, it's like a parenthesis. It's been stuck in. And if you're Jewish, you can become a Christian. And in fact, Jews for Jesus are probably one of the finest organizations. They just love the Lord. But one day the nation itself is going to receive that Holy Spirit. It's going to be poured out on them. And I hope to be in heaven at that time and enjoying the kingdom of God. But they wanted Rome to be overthrown. They wanted to get rid of the shackles of Rome. And they thought, if he could just do it now. And then I thought about all the suffering that's happened because of Rome. Remember with Nero, he would take Christians and he would put tar all over them, and then he would light them alive for his garden parties. And all of the bloodshed that happened in the Colosseum and so on, it would have been, you think, why doesn't Jesus spare us? Well, he has a plan, doesn't he? And it must be hard on him, too. Well, they went to the upper room, 120 of them. We had a little disagreement with that, with the leaders, but I see it as being 120 extra people plus the disciples. And the leader in this particular group was Peter, in verse 14. And here we learn more about Judas Iscariot. Now, when I was a new Christian 100 years ago, I thought I understood Judas. But the more I study Scripture and the more I study him, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I think, bottom line, is Judas wanted Jesus or God at his terms. And he was pushing Jesus' hand. He knew, he felt perhaps that Jesus would get out of it because of who he said he was. And of course he didn't. It was all part of the plan. But he's a difficult one to figure out. I mean, maybe but he thinks they've got him figured out. Tell me. But here he is. He commits suicide and bungles the job. He's given 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus. And that's thrown into where the priests are. And the priests can't use it for any kind of money, so they take it and they buy this plot for burial. And that's apparently where Judas went out to commit suicide, on a tree, and the branch broke. Now, if you were high schoolers, like I used to teach high school boys, I would talk about his guts falling out. Because the boys would like that more than anything, and the girls would go, ooh. Anyway, we learn a little bit more about Judas committing suicide there. What a sad soul. You know, when he walked with the Lord, he saw all those miracles. He even helped with the miracles. Now, how could he do what he did? I don't know. Except his heart must have been so bad. And only Jesus knew that. The disciples didn't know it. It's an amazing thing. Well, then we get down to Matthias. And commentaries that I read were all different on Matthias. But I'll give you how I look at it. He fulfilled prophecy. They wanted to complete the 12. Now, if you are Paul should have been the 12th one. You have to remember he's not saved yet. And not only he's not saved, but after he is, he goes to Arabia for 3 years. Now, he's not fulfilling that 12 very well. So I think they did the right thing, and it fulfills Scripture. And Matthias took Judas's place. And if you want to say it's Paul, that's fine. But I've switched to Matthias as being okay. We don't know anything about him, but you have to remember that it was they prayed over it first. Don't miss that. And they asked the Lord to guide the lottery. And you say, our lottery's okay. And but you have to know, too, that the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. We'll get that next week's lesson. So they're judging this as to how God directs Matthias, and they do it by lottery, and that was accepted in the Old Testament. I wouldn't do it today. I would put out a fleece, as this young gal says, put out a fleece. And that's how I did for this class. I was going to say no, and I had no peace about it. When I wrote it in my prayer book, as yes, I'll take the class, Lord, you'll take care of my help, then I had peace about it. And that's a type of fleece. But don't leave prayer out. It's so important. And you're going to find that in the book of Acts. Every time they turn around, they're praying. And it's that one verse I thought was so cool. It says, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I mean, they were all together and they were all on the same page. Can you imagine that? Just think of your church, everybody on the same page. Wow. That was so cool. And just remember, too, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. Of course, I put down the question mark here is, why the rush? As I was under Miss Johnson in Bible Study Fellowship for a few years, and you never rush the Holy Spirit. Okay. Of course, I was a brand new believer, so. Okay, whatever you say. So, and chosen by lottery, yeah, I think that's, there's no need for that. Everybody needs to be on the same page, however. So, and there must be prayer and claimed scripture, and you don't need lottery. Oh, how about the lottery with all the money? No, you don't need that. It'll just bring you grief. Well, I don't know. Are you carrying anything around? Are you burdened by anything? Before the day is out, be sure to give it to the Lord. Well, I didn't do this, or I did that, and it grieves me, and I keep thinking about it. Well, women have a tendency to do that. They rehash and rehash. If I had done this, maybe this wouldn't happen. If I had done that, no. Take it to the Lord and ask him to heal those memories. And have you ever prayed and asked for the Holy Spirit? If you've never done that, be sure, don't let the day go by without asking the Lord to come into your life. How long is he going to stay with you? Well, he said forever. So that means he's going to get you home safe and sound. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Well, I'm sure I've missed something here in our lesson. I feel like it. But let's ask the Lord to take these lessons and hit them home to us. Lord, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit that is our teacher, that you illumine the verses to us. Lord, we don't know very much. We build a little bit here and a little bit there, and you show us the direction. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today with a heavy burden, that you would help them to unload that at Calvary, that they would ask you to wash it away, to remove the memories of it, that you might, that they might become a completed Christian to serve you in a complete way. Lord, our past so easily entangles us. Help us, Lord, to leave it with you. And help us to live a new day as unto you. Bless these ladies, Lord, and bless their homes and their situations. Encourage their hearts, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.